We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what they call the 45th chapter, the 20th Pasuk. And the Navi had been describing the idea of Lova Seter Dibarti. When I gave you the Torah, it wasn't hidden. Bimkom Eretz Choshech. Just one sec. 20. Pasuk Chaf. Shem says, Ani Hashem, Dover Tzedek, Magid Meisharim. I told you the good, honest, ethical life. And here we went into the discussion of reward and punishment last week. The idea of the Chasam Sofer's question, is reward the given? Is punishment the chidush? Is punishment the given? Is reward the chidush? The idea that we don't really deserve the rewards we get. They are a gift from above. The two interpretations of the word sachar, whether sachar means wages or sachar means reward. Rashi's quote of two interpretations in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, al menat lekabel sachar. So that was our discussion last week. This section in the Navi, as we've been discussing, has multiple interpretations as to whether it's talking about the Jewish people's ascent to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash, or it's talking about the ultimate redemption that's yet to come. And so the Navi says, Hikavetsu vavo, hitnageshu yachdav pelitei hagoyim. I want you to gather. I want you to come. I want you to unite. You who are escaping from the nations, pelitei hagoyim. So Rashi learns, this continues the invitation to Am Yisrael to return to Israel. And pelitei hagoyim, the refugees from among the nations, is talking about Am Yisrael, those who make it out alive. There were people who were killed by the scores in the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. You have tens of thousands of people killed daily. And then in the second Beit HaMikdash, you have greater numbers. You have scores and scores of Jews being slaughtered and butchered. We know the Midrashim. There was one tree where they found so many children, hundreds of children hanging on one tree. They had one stone where they found the equivalent of 18 liters worth of babies' brains that were bashed on that stone. So the people were killed by the scores. And the Navi says, after such a destruction, I want you to come back. And you are pelitei hagoyim. Those who escape, those who are refugees from among the nations, lo yadeu hanoseim et etz pislam. Those who carry, as they're traveling, they carry that wood, which is their idol. The word pesel means to chisel out. So that which is chiseled out, the idol made of wood, that's to engrave. Umit palelim ele lo yoshia, and those who pray to a God that will not save them, hagidu veagishu af yivatzu yachdav. If you people tell over, if you people speak to one another and try to hear, Mihishmiya zot mikedim me'azigida. Which idol told you in advance that there would be a great redemption? Halo ani Adonai ve'en od Elohim mibaladai. I'm the only one, says Hashem. No one else foretold the destruction and redemption. No one else among all these idols foretold you of what great redemption you would have. It's interesting because this is a phenomenal theme in our present day lives. In the 60s, the Reform Movement wouldn't recognize the State of Israel. They, 130 years ago, they took out Jerusalem from their prayers. And then when the state was refounded, they didn't want to recognize the state because they said, we already decided a long time ago that Israel is not a focus of our religion. It has nothing to do with us. And it took them decades to come to a recognition that we should. And then they chucked what their predecessors said. Just like in the 1800s, they chucked what the Jews had been doing for over a millennium. So now in the late 1900s, the second half of the 20th century, they chucked what the Reform Movement said in the 19th century, 100 years earlier. And they said, no, Jerusalem's very important to us. But I have a sitter at home that doesn't have V'techezen ha'ineinu b'shuvcha l'tzion. They took out Zion from their prayers. So the Navi is saying, look around. Who told you you're coming back? None of the idols believed they were you're coming back. This idea that the coming back to Zion is a strictly Jewish religious theme is something that's ever present. It's been here. And I don't understand how people held on to this. It's mind-boggling to me. How people, hundreds of years, centuries keep passing, and Jews keep wanting to return to Zion. I don't know how. You know what we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was holding only halfway through the Galut. Only 1,000 years passed in his time. You know, and he's saying it's been so long. Today we know that it was almost 2,000 years, depending on where you start your count. So the Navi says, you want to honor anything but me? Tell me, who told you you're coming back? No one did. I brought the Reform Movement not as an example of something pagan. I'm not saying they're pagan. I brought it as an example of where human logic would lead us. The idea that if we didn't have the prophets, it was a logical conclusion in the 19th century to remove the hope for Zion. El tzaddik u'moshiayin zulati. Hashem says, I am the righteous one, I am the Savior, and there are none but me. I'm the one that's going to save you. Pinu elai v'yivashu kol afsei haaretz. Turn to me, Hashem says, and you will be saved. You see, we know that there are religions that say, just believe in this and that and you'll be saved. The source is the Navi Yeshayahu. And in the Navi Yeshayahu, Hashem says, turn to me. Now, this is an important theme, because what the Navi is saying is, what Hashem is saying is, people can feel like they've led a life of paganism. Do they have any hope? If they've denied Hashem their whole life. So, part of the stumbling block to returning is the idea of, if this is what I've done all along, so what hope do I have? Can I really do something different? Hashem says, yes, I'm inviting you, I want you back. Pinu elai, turn to me, leave those idols, v'yivashu, and then you will be saved. Kol afsei haaretz. I'm not only talking to the Jews, I'm talking to all of mankind, the edges of the earth. Ki ani el ve'ein od, because I am the potent being, and there are no other. There are no other. Hashem says, there are no other. Bi nishbati yatza mipi tzedakah davar v'lo yashuv. Hashem says, I promise, and once I've said it, I'm not changing my mind. Anyone who wants to return can. The door is open, says Hashem. Kili ticha kol berech tishava kol lashon. Hashem says, ultimately, you will bow to none other but me. Ultimately, you will take your vows and you will use my name and none others. Ach badonai li amal tzedakot va'oz. The Navi says, Hashem has told me that even though the nations, they will bow before me, but Hashem tells me, says the Navi, tzedakot va'oz. He says that the people of Israel who have had this faith in Hashem, they will ultimately get Hashem's righteousness with the might, and they will have a unique standing in the end. So the Navi says, Ach Vashem Liamar, but Hashem told me that even though he's promising the nations that they can return, Tzedakot Va'oz, the ultimate righteousness and strength that Hashem is offering is not free game for all. That is Li Amar. That is something that's held for the Jewish people. Hashem says, you can't show up at the end of the game and say, okay, Hashem, you're the boss. No, there will come a time where Hashem says, I'm saving something for my people. Throughout the history, I'm saying whoever wants to can join and should join. But you have to realize that there is an end game. And that's what it says in the laws of Giyur. That when a person comes to convert, we tell him, why would you want to do that? It's very challenging to be a Jew. It's hard to do mitzvot. There's persecution. Don't you know Jews get murdered right and left? Don't you know Jews are suffering? We explain to him why it's a bad idea. And if the person insists, after we've tried and tried again, so then we tell him, you know, there are perks. At the end of the day, you're in the winning team. Meaning there's a certain amount of suffering we're going through here, but at the end, you should realize that Hashem has promised special things for the Jewish people. And this is the winning team. So we don't tell them that in the beginning. First we say, hey, you have to realize how much you're risking. We'll just finish this section. Adav yavo ve'yevoshu kol ha'necherim bo. Hashem says, I will ultimately bring testimony. Adav yavo ve'yevoshu. I will bring testimony to the behavior of the pagan nations, and then they will be shamed. They won't be able to say at the end that I want to join too. There's a big question as time goes on, and the state of Israel seems more and more like it is a long-term reality. The ability to convert becomes more and more questionable. We find that when the Jews had a golden era in the days of Shlomo, so they stopped allowing people to convert. They wouldn't, no respectable Beis Din would participate in conversions because they said, who knows whose intentions are real and not. There are too many perks to joining the Jewish people. And so as our situation in Israel keeps improving, the ability to convert keeps diminishing. The ability for someone to convert and be accepted by legitimate Batei Din, so today it's still existent. But it's something we have to ponder as time goes on, whether this window of opportunity will remain. We hope that things will keep getting better here. Small examples. My uncles and aunts lived here when there was a siege on Jerusalem, when people were being shot. When I made Aliyah, you didn't walk in the old city. I'm not talking about Shaar Shechem. You didn't walk in the old city without thinking that you would get stabbed. And people were getting stabbed in the old city, right and left. I went to the Kotel when we would get stoned in the Kotel. And when I'm talking about stones, I'm talking about stones that could kill a person. The stones that came from the Arab side of the wall were the size I was there. I was standing there and a rock came flying by, a rock that could have killed someone had it hit someone in the head. Things keep improving, Baruch Hashem. And so as the situation improves, so Hashem says, there will come a time where there's an end game. And Hashem says, if you didn't join, there's nothing left to do but be embarrassed. You're going to be able to accept monotheism, the seven Noahide laws, but you won't be able to get in. There is a window that closes, and it's not clear when that window closes with regard to our situation here. That's why even though in ancient times to convert was a short process, you could convert in a week. You'd come in, you'd learn the basics of Judaism, you'd learn a few halachot, and then if you still wanted it, and they could realize you were sane, because it really didn't make sense logically, other than, I mean, unless you accepted it, that it was true, you were really risking your life. I mean, people who converted were in danger of getting killed. So that was all it took. Today, there's this whole long process. It takes a year, 2 years, and whatever it takes is still short compared to what was in King Solomon's time. In his time, the high courts wouldn't accept you. You'd have to go to an underground Beis Din, a Beis Din that was far less legitimate, that wasn't such great people. And they'd convert you, and you'd still be in questionable state. So the Navi says there's a time where the window closes. And I'm saying that our situation today, as Baruch Hashem, it keeps improving, certainly gives room to think that that window of opportunity is also on its way to being shut. We'll conclude the prophecy. One more pasuk. Badonai itzdeku v'italelu kol zera Yisrael. Ultimately, the Jewish people will be able to take pride, will be able to rejoice in their faith in Hashem that lasted all the years. I'm humbled by this. I don't know how I could take credit for it. I'm lucky to be a part of the people, because I don't know how to explain the greatness of a people that I merit to be a part of, but how they held on all these years. Saying, we look at it and we say, look at us. Well, I don't know. Look at the Jewish people. It's an amazing thing that they held on. But the Navi says we'll take pride in that. I guess if we think about the fact that it's our father, it's our grandfather, it's our great-grandfather. Last night I told the story of a Kohen who ended his family by marrying a non-Jewish woman, and he passed away, and his grandchildren are gone. That's it. He ended the seed of Israel in his family. So there is an element where a person can say, look at what we've done these past 2,000 years. And there's a national pride that's aroused when we recognize where the world's been these two millennium, and where we as a people have been. It's a national pride. It's not, I don't think it's a personal pride.
Yeah. Other people, got very lucky, and, it was an easier thing, and I'm the merit of someone else. I mean, it's hard, but this raises so many questions. So the Rabbi Akiva and the execution are accepted in the world to come. I mean, obviously, the executioner did real tshuva at the last minute. It's non-Jew. Now, I like to think that maybe, that his world to come may not be exactly the same as Rabbi Akiva's, but I don't know that,
Yeah.
And it's really strange, because even though his death may be atoned, you're not supposed to take your own life to decide that.
Maybe that's that. Another good question.
There's lots of questions that these things raise, and it's much easier, at least personally, to deal with on a national than on an individual.
So, Thursday night, that's it's a topic. It has answers, though.
This kind of goes back to last week about how there's like this schar, how, there's this schar that magia lecha from doing the mitzvot, but then there's this schar shelo magia lecha for being commanded in the mitzvot. And you quoted Rav Herschel Schefter, said everybody was commanded in Shabbat as a punishment.
Of Soloveitchik, yeah.
Soloveitchik, and he took everybody, and then he took it away. Right. So this is a continuation of the, I'm saying all the Jews were commanded. And then this decision of, who you marry, and, where you live, and who your kids are, if you're going to continue with the...
Right, but that's not me. That's everyone before me.
Right, but you're...
I'm sitting on their wings. I'm a link. Yeah. I hope I'm not the weak link, right? Yes.
Two questions. First question, I thought Yoshua and not Yeshayahu wrote the Aleinu. We just followed the middle part of the Aleinu and Yeshayahu. And directly at two verses before that, we have refunding
the Shia. Well, it says Yahushua did.
Right, but look at the Yeshaya here, we just learned. It's Mipalim Yoshia, right? And then we have Kobeath.
But how often do we quote to the Aleinu that was said by the Nevi?
I hear.
It's significant in time. That's the first question. The second question is, Abu Dazara Da Gimel. where Hashem gives them another, gives all the nations a chance, seems to be in contradiction.
Right.
So how do these reconcile?
Thursday night. Shabbat shalom. What do you mean? That what?
Originally it's from Yeshua, but it's
So that idea is the Machzor Vitri. But I would just say, you know, you're asking if words here are quoted in Aleinu, so maybe Yoshua, the way Chazal say, composed Aleinu, and that's where Yeshaya got the words from. Why are you saying, you know, the words are a question on Yoshua composing? Let's say differently. From the time of Yoshua, they had these words, and Yeshaya incorporated them in his prophecy. We don't know which came first. Ah, I thought you were saying the concept was from the days of Yoshua. Okay, I'm saying the concept that it says in the Machzor Vitri. And the words, I don't know who came first. I know that Chazal tell us that Yoshua composed Aleinu. That when Yeshua entered the land of Israel, it says, you could see it in the Rokeach, not the Rokeach, the Ribar Yeker. He quotes the Medrash, that when Yeshua entered Eretz Yisrael and he saw all the pagans, so he got so excited. It would seem that it means after 40 years in the desert, he again came in contact with all the pagans of Israel. So he said, wow, Aleinu Shabbat L'Adonakol.
There's still, well,